truth is, I can only access my inbox for a very limited time. I use an app called Freedom. Mm-hmm. And Freedom, you can schedule times where to access different things. So, for example, all my social media is blocked until like 3 p.m., for example.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people kind of like you. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. So as an entrepreneur, we get caught in this mindset that my business is different, that I am just going to outwork and out-hustle everyone to be able to get to the next level. And when people from the outside stop and try to get you to focus, we have this capacity to go, oh, you know what? I'm different. I have to hustle. I have to do it myself. I have to be the one who's running around like this. But the reality is, that's not true. The reality is that running around like a crazy person, trying to be everything to everyone at all times, ultimately leads to burnout. Ultimately, it leads to ineffectiveness. I was recently at an event in Scottsdale, Arizona, put on by my friend Uriel Kame. And there were many speakers over the course of the weekend. But the one that really struck me, that resonated me, was Dave Varell. Dave and I sit down in this interview today to discuss some of the topics that he opened, that he put on the floor at this particular event. We look at simple things, the operations of a business, and the things that we need to have in place as entrepreneurs to be effective and to stay healthy. When people come through my door in the office, it's not more strategy, it's not more work, it's not more marketing that they need to get their business off the ground. Usually, it's focus. Usually it's operational strategy. Usually it's systems around their time and their email. And ultimately, these are the things that are keeping them from achieving ultimate health. I loved what Dave had to say because he drew on his fitness background. He drew on his own interests in health and devised a system, created a plan, and shared with us his expertise around the operational side of being an effective entrepreneur. I love what he has to say. I know you're going to love him too. Dave Varell. Dave Varell, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm so excited to have you here.
Megan, I'm stoked. Stoked to be with you here.
Amazing. I heard you speak almost 2 months ago at Uriel Kame's Healthpreneur Live, and I will admit your talk was my favorite. Because I'm really interested, and I work with entrepreneurs, and every day we're looking at what are the problems they're facing on a daily basis, and focus, and burnout, and the operational side of running their business, which isn't the sexy Facebook feed side; it's the real life side that interferes with their health and their productivity and their vision. And you started in the fitness industry. You are an entrepreneur. You've had a really incredible journey. Can you give us a bit of a background on your story, how you got here, and what you're up to right now?
Cool. Yeah. First of all, thank you. We appreciate it. Thanks for the kind words. So I've been an online entrepreneur for about 10 years now. Started, as you said, in the fitness industry. The first business that I launched was actually selling cookbooks in the fitness world. So I developed a cookbook for muscle building. I'm a former amateur bodybuilder. So, you know, based on years of painful dieting, constituted of chicken breast, broccoli, and rice, you know, decided to put a cookbook out for the world to eat, for people involved in bodybuilding to eat tastier meals. And we did that after that in the fat loss market. I was a fitness coach prior to launching this online business. From there, all the success we had with that led to a publishing business. So we published various coaches and authors and online influencers digitally. So we were creating all their marketing, their products, etc. for them, and did that for a few years. That led to another opportunity in buying part of a supplement, natural supplements company, and which I did, and ran that for 2 years. And little by little, I started actually taking on business clients. And that's pretty much what I've been doing for the past, I would say, going on almost 4 years now, is actually, helping entrepreneurs really not become more productive, but become more efficient and live better lives and run better businesses. So I consider myself as a life and business architect. So I try to harmonize as much as possible both sides of entrepreneurs' lives.
Well, I love that. And I think so many people become entrepreneurs because, they're working the 9-to-5 and they visualize this. I'm not going to have to answer to anybody. I'm going to be able to do my own thing and I'm not anyone's slave. And then they start their business. And what they realize quickly is that they've become the slave to their business, as opposed to being able to view it as their business is something that can serve them and their lifestyle and their mission and their vision. How did you get to this point where you were like, I'm going to take a different lens on this entrepreneurial approach and the coaching that you do in that realm?
Well, I went through it, right? So that was the big thing for me. It's like, that's the number one thing, that number one reason why I decided to become an entrepreneur. First of all, I didn't want to become an entrepreneur per se. For me, it's like, I'm going to launch my own business and gain more freedom. Right. And that was my main thing. I wanted to travel. That was my number one thing. I know when I wanted family, I wanted to be there for my kids. I wanted to be a great husband as well. Really have the freedom to do what I wanted, when I wanted, with who I wanted, pretty much. And, as you go and as the entrepreneurial mindset takes over, you realize that, damn, that I'm actually drifting away completely from my original idea, my original, goal. And you end up, driving in a burnout zone pretty fast. So that's, I've been there. And then, I had to, develop systems for myself in order to manage that. And these systems that I use after that with my coaching clients. And I was doing mostly online business coach, business coaching. And I specialized more and more as I, with time, into taking people out of their burnout zone, right? Taking them out of what you said, the day-to-day hustle and bustle, where you end up, running a business doesn't serve you, and you have to change how you operate, right? So I now really help 100% of time. That's what I do with entrepreneurs. I just bring them through. Either I think them, when they're inside, going through burnout, and run them through the program, or I help them, make sure it doesn't happen.
Right. Okay. So take us. I remember you were giving this talk and you put this slide up, and it was this growth curve of one's business, and the curve went up, and then there were two phases on that curve that were literally on fire. I was like, oh, so true. And take us through some of the features of that burnout phase. I'm not talking about adrenal fatigue. I'm not talking about the health side. I'm talking about, what are some of the lifestyle or business pattern features that you're seeing in these individuals who are stuck in that phase? How do we know we're caught in the burnout phase of building a business?
Yeah, so it's easy to get caught in your burnout zone, first of all. But, as you said, there's a journey in entrepreneurship, right? There's an entrepreneurial journey you're going to go through. It always starts with, the start, what we call the startup phase, right? Where you go pretty much, where you start your own business. You know, you are an expert in some fields. Say, hey, you know, instead of doing that for someone else, I'm going to do that for myself. You get started, and it's a fun time, right? I mean, do you remember when you started your first business, Megan? Like how fun that was to finally get there and living that, right?
Totally.
I mean, it's a fun time. So you start there, and after a little while, you switch from being an expert to now an entrepreneur, business owner, right? So that's what we call the first pain zone, where there's going to be a lot of adaptation that's going to need to happen. And this is not usually it's a zone that where you're going to have a lot of friction. You're going to have to learn a lot. You have to acquire a new mindset as well, which is what I call the first pain zone. In between, there's the growth phase, right? Where you, well, after that, your business is going to grow, and there's until like you decide maybe to scale later down the road. But in the meantime, you're faced with two options, right? You can either go the what I call the lifestyle zone, which is, you know, having the business to work for yourself and the business to actually serve you, or you can go the other way and go drive in the burnout zone. And the burnout zone is where a lot of entrepreneurs drive, because I mean you become pretty reactive to what's happening. You're not really like, it's not something we teach in school, right? We don't teach you to become an entrepreneur. It's not like, nobody prepares you for that. And the thing is, like, we are we can easily get caught up into the reality of things until like. And sometimes it's too late to come back from that. You really burn out, and you know, the consequences could be pretty disastrous. So there's different symptoms you're going to see, or I call them symptoms, but it's not like different signs that you're going to be driving in a burnout zone. Like, for example, you're going to be putting out fires most of the time, right? That's what you're going to be, always something to fix. You're like, oh shit, something's happening again. Something's broken. I got to fix. You know, you feel squeezed, for example. So you feel like it's just too much to do and just not enough time, right? And I think most entrepreneurs feel that. You know, endless to-do lists, for example, is another sign during the burnout. So you're like, damn, I cannot, you know, go through that full list. It seems to get longer and longer.
Right.
And longer.
I thought when you were talking about this at the conference, I'm just interjecting for a second. There were some things that you said, I was like, I was looking around the room. I'm like, I thought that was just me. And you could see everyone had that same look on their face where they're like, oh, everyone goes through that. It was so reassuring.
Because you know what? We always think that like everybody else has everything figured out, and that like, oh no, like I'm not good enough, or I'm not a good entrepreneur, or like, listen, like 95%. I don't know. I don't have like this.
my made up statistic on the spot.
My totally made up statistic. No, but most, like I would say, most entrepreneurs like go through at least a few of these signs in their journey. And truth is, as I said, it's because it's not something that we teach. Something that, hey, you've been thrown into that world of owning a business, and nobody's really teaching you like, hey, you know, it's that's what's going to happen, right? And there's like other stuff like that can happen, leading even to burnout. I've been through a burnout a few years ago, and it's probably the worst experience of my life. It was the most painful moment of my life as well. And you sacrifice so much. You realize that, damn, I've been in through, you know, I was in for freedom, and now I'm like, my health is being totally neglected. My relationships suffer, you know, my ideas are shit, and my creativity is not good. Like, I'm not creating great stuff. I'm not doing great work. And, you know, you feel like a robot all the time, right? You feel like you're doing the same thing over and over again, always on the edge, and, you know, emotionally drained, problem sleeping, stress, anxiety. And that can lead to depression, even like to in more severe cases, right? So it's not a good zone to be in, trust me.
And I feel like there's this common myth that I certainly see in my practice with entrepreneurs, and you probably hear this too, is they then justify that they're caught in burnout phase and the endless to-dos by saying, well, you know what, but my business is different than everybody else's. My audience is different. My model's different. My situation's different. So that's why I'm here. Am I correct in saying that this is like one of the biggest myths that holds people in that burnout phase?
Yeah, I think we're always going to find like some excuses. So first, like, yeah, as you said, we're going to try to rationalize why we do that. Like, oh, that's the price to pay.
Right.
That's what entrepreneurship is all about. And that's also like all the bullshit that the culture is feeding us as well.
Sure.
Right. The whole ethos of hustle and grind. Right. So when you're like, you know, hustling and grinding when you're in the burnout zone, it's never a good idea.
No.
Right. But you're like, hey, you know, they say that, like, that's what you hear all the time. Like, if I don't do that, I'm not good enough. I'm not a good entrepreneur. I'm not doing whatever it takes, right? So we bring that. We try to actually sometimes buy more capacity. You know what I mean? I always laugh because, like, there's a lot of people who meditate just because they think, like, oh, it's going to make me more productive.
Right.
Right. It's like, that's the biggest. And you see, like, so many entrepreneurs, like, yeah, I meditate now. It's in my schedule from 9:15 to 9:17, like see, that's the thing. We're going to buy more capacity. It's a huge, huge, huge mistake that people make. So yeah, no, we see that quite a bit. And yeah, I think, you know, until you realize and fully accept that you are driving in this zone and willing to do something about it, things are not going to get better.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And so I'm assuming that beyond the burning wreckage that is the growth curve of one's business, there is a next phase. What happens post burnout? What happens if we dial it in and recognize that, oh man, I'm caught in a cycle that isn't serving me? How do I jump to that next level? And what does the grass look like in that yard?
Yeah. So yeah, as you said, like first, the first thing is realization, right? It's like, there's a lot of similarities between this and recovery from an addiction, you know, because work could easily become an addiction. And, you know, workaholics work pretty much the same way as alcoholics or people have substance abuse problem. I'm lucky enough to have people that have in my life that have battled addiction, and I was able to actually work with them, accompany them in this process. And I've learned so much from that because the comparisons were the same, right? And so the first thing, you know, first of all, the first thing is, yeah, acknowledging that, yes, I have a problem. Let's do something about it, right? And from there is actually going on a recovery process that can be very fast for some people, that can be very long for other people, right? So the number one is acknowledging that. Second one is actually going through what I call a recovery program, right? So for me, for example, the big thing was reconnecting with my non-negotiables, for example, right? So reconnecting with why I wanted to do business, right? What was it that brought me to entrepreneurship in the first place, right? And from there, I started eliminating everything that wasn't aligned with that. I set, you know, different boundaries for myself, you know, reclaim my schedule, creating different routines and rituals in my life as well, simplify a lot of my business. I was realizing that my operations were getting way too complex for what I was doing. I implemented different systems and really reconnected as well with you know, the important things, right? Because there's three really important things that go out the window when you're driving the burnout zone. Is that the first number one is your health, right? And for me, that was the thing. I was coming from, you know, the health space, and I was going from bodybuilder to marshmallow man. I went from bodybuilder to really not in good. I got a picture actually of me at the peak of my burnout, and it's not pretty. And my health really took a toll during that time, right? So that's well, the first thing goes out the window. Second thing is the relationships, right? Relationships with your spouse, with your family, with your kids, but also with your colleagues, with your peers in the industry. Like, it's so easy to become like to seclude yourself, you know, to just become like just like you're just with yourself, you're not reaching out for help, like you're not connecting as much because you're busy all the time, or like going to, you're ashamed of yourself because you feel like, oh, I'm not good enough, and you don't want to go to like events or connect with people. And also freedom, right? Your freedom to create, your freedom to move, to have, you know, to do the things that you really want to do. And, you know, when you're in the burnout zone, you don't have that freedom. Usually like the business dictates that, like the freedom goes away because the business becomes what you want to, what you have to do all the time.
And I think it's Ben Greenfield who talks about this idea that it's your systems that are actually the gateway to freedom. And, you know, I sat in your talk and you flashed up one of your slides, and it was this, I don't know how you had set it up. I went home and set it up in Excel, but it was your schedule was so simplistic, but I know it was so strategic in how you designed it. Can you talk a little bit about how you structure your time? Because I asked my audience this week, I'm like, is it time or focus that you're lacking? And insightfully, most of them said it's focus, but I think part of how we achieve maximum focus is how we really structure our time. How do you go about doing that so that you are not falling back into that burnout phase, so that you're always moving in a place of growth?
Yeah, 100%. It's part of like the system, the structure, and the boundaries that I set for myself. And I think, you know, it's all interconnected. You know, I think focus, time goes together. I think, you know, entrepreneurs don't have really like, I don't think it's a big problem, like how, like managing your time or managing your focus. I think they know what they have to do. The big thing is to manage themselves, mm-hmm. right? Self-structure or self-management is so, so important for every single entrepreneur. So I'm going to give you, I can tell you what I do. And like as far as my schedule goes, do you want me to share that?
I want you to share it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a screenshot of how I've set my schedule up, and I'm going to throw it up on our Entrepology Facebook page as well.
Gotcha. No, as I said, like it's pretty, pretty simple, and it changes as well, right? It really changes depending on the way I work. So for example, like the way I presented it, I presented my schedule my calendar at the event. It even changed since there a tiny, tiny bit. So for example, the first thing that I do is it's a concept of time boxing. So I'm going to tell you about my weird concept of brain boxing. So it's actually like to be able to focus on one thing at any specific time. And I picture my brain as kind of a basketball court, right? So picture a basketball court, and on each side you had shelves. And on these shelves, there's different boxes. And all these boxes is all the things that you're doing with your life, your business, everything. To play properly on that court, and you could do whatever you want on that court, I say basketball, but just picture an area where you can play. You can only take one box at a time, play with it, play with what's inside. And after you're done, you need to take that box and put it back on the shelves, right? So that's the weird way I call that brain boxing, but that's a weird way that I picture the way I should operate with my time, but with myself as well. So I call it time boxing because I'm going to take, for X amount of time, I'm going to take this box and I'm going to play with it, right? So the first box that I have is from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. And you're going to see it's pretty open. It's not task-based. It's really is like activity theme based. So every day from 6 to 10 a.m., it's the family and morning routine, right? So it's time that I take, right, for myself, but for my family. So usually it goes like that. I wake up in the morning, I spend time with my daughter, cook her breakfast. Before that, depending on what time she wakes up at, like usually I try to wake up before she does so I can have time, like, one for my meditation. My meditation consists of like 15 minutes of just time with myself and my brain. Hey, so just like sitting, we got a nice sunroom in my house that looks over the water. We live in front of a river, and I just sit there for about 15 minutes in silence, and I look outside. If it's nice outside, I'm going to go outside and look at the water. And I just think, and that's my form of meditation. I just sit there and soak it all in. And it doesn't need to be all, you know, we always picture meditation as you know, a woo-woo thing that's like, you know, I gotta do all these things. It's not like it could be just like pure time for yourself. So that's my form of meditation. Then my daughter wakes up, cooks her breakfast, everything. We get her prepared. She's 3.5, right? So we put her actually at daycare for 2 days a week. And then my mother-in-law is here as well with us most days. So she can be in the house and she can have, she can do all these things. So time for my family. And from there, I go on my routine of going to the gym, you know, having a healthy shake after the gym, you know, running a couple of errands, and then I start my week. Usually I have a time called Money Moves in the morning. So the Money Moves is really time that I use for me to maintain my business and also work on my most important things, right? So it's a 90-minute window that goes from 10 a.m. until about 11:30. And this is where I really, really focus on the important things, right? So the things that are really actually contribute to my business success. So important things that I'm working on right now are maintaining the important stuff, right? We're going to talk later about the productive action method. It's actually part of that where I focus on my one thing for the day. Then I run like some tasks from about 15 minutes. So just like little things that I have to do. I do emails. So 12 to like about 20, 12, 15, then I go for lunch.
So stop, pause.
Yep.
You do email for 15 minutes?
Yeah, not every day though. Some I try to, hold on. I do email
like,
in the morning. Not every day. I try to keep it for the last thing that I do every day. So there's two slots, like time slots that are open for that, depending on, you know, the level of communication that I need with different people. But I have truth is I can only access my inbox for very limited time. I use an app called Freedom. Mm-hmm. And Freedom, you can schedule times where to access different things. So for example, all my social media is blocked until like 3 p.m., for example.
So smart.
Yeah, I got it open from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. if I want, like, I don't know, post something on Instagram, for example. But even there, I don't even, I deleted all social media except for Instagram. Other than that, it's all out of my cell phone. So I don't have anything like that. So I can only access social media from 9 to 10 a.m. And then it's open from 3 to 6 a.m. So it's to 6 p.m. And after that, it's blocked again. So, it's just to get in the habit of not like always having to check your social media. Same thing with email. So, 15 minutes from 10, from noon to 12:15 on that I can check emails. It takes me literally like 15, 20 minutes a day max like to run my inbox now.
Okay, so let's just, we're going to digress and we're going to put this into a brain box, it were, for a minute, because email is, we're going to get into like big rocks and medium rocks. Email is a small rock, but I feel like it's important and I have people reaching out to me and I get that I don't have to make their agenda my agenda. Sometimes it's patients, sometimes it's clients. And I have to be reactive to that. And I think what I do is I try to provide value in my email, which takes a lot of time. And I feel like you have email completely dialed in. Email is the bane of my existence and a huge block for me. So I know this is the reality for so many people. So like, let's just break down how you are now. You're a very successful entrepreneur. You are busy. You are traveling. You've got all sorts of things going on. How is this happening in 15 minutes?
Well, hold on. Let's put it in a brain box.
What's the secret?
let's just finish the calendar quickly.
Okay. Back on the show. I'll pull it off again in a minute.
No, that's cool. So, So pretty much it's open the afternoons from 1 to 4 p.m. Either open for creation, so open for creation most days, or it's open for calls. So I usually do my calls on Tuesdays. There's some exceptions, obviously, but I usually do my calls on Tuesday. The rest is pretty much open for creation. So whatever I'm working on right now, I got the whole space open, right? And I have like always a routine that I do every day, which is like I got one routine per day that I perform, and that routine, like, it can change, but for me it's all about connecting with people. So I usually reach out to either an affiliate, to a great customer, to a person, a peer in my business groups, for example. I also send handwritten cards to people. So it's something I do 30 minutes every day in order to always keep that alive, because I realized that that was something that if I kept doing it when I was doing it frequently, like, my business was always healthy. So that's the one thing I kept. And then I do like about 15 minutes of email before I'm done, and then team communication as well. That's pretty much it. So let's put this box on the shelf. Let's take the email box. So the email's pretty much like I'm using Gmail. It's super simple the way we do it. So we're using Gmail. You know, in Gmail, how you have these three different tabs for like promotions, social, like the main box, etc. We remove that. We put everything into one main inbox. From there, what we do is we use filters to filter most of these messages. So when you do that, first of all, is you start filtering your emails, right? So you create all different folders with different, like, let's say you have different different newsletter you're subscribed to. You can create a folder called newsletter. Underneath that, you can have, like, I don't know, Megan Walker and like whoever you're subscribed to. Mm-hmm. And you can, depends on what you want to do. You can either like filter them automatically, so they are sent automatically in this folder, so you don't see it in your inbox. Or you can have it in your inbox, and then when you're done reading it, you put that into that folder. I do that when, like, for example, let's say I want to know more about, you know, what you do, and I'm very interested right now into what you're doing. I want you in my inbox, right? I don't want you going automatically in your folder. So I always have 2 to 3 newsletters that come to my inbox, because those are the ones that I really, really want you to have. There's some that have been going to my inbox for years, because I really like, you know, reading about these people, what they're doing. But as much as possible, I want to be able to, when I want to and read what they're doing, I want to be able to do that. So I have all these filters that when you set the automation that when that email comes from that person, it skips the inbox and then goes into that folder. So I try to do that with all the newsletters. Also, what I do is that I unsubscribe from most of the letters, like all the things that I'm subscribed to that I don't need to. So as I say, every day there's always something new to say, oh, I don't need that, unsubscribe, right? So I unsubscribe. You're going to see, like, you're subscribed to so much stuff that you shouldn't be receiving, that, like, just unsubscribe. So it's a process, but, you know, ultimately, like, you're not going to receive anything you don't want to receive when it's done. And I create my inbox. My own inbox is actually a folder that is outside of the main inbox. So why I'm doing that is that I want to make sure that all my main inbox, when I receive something that I need to attend, for example, I'm going to put it in my inbox. And the thing is, the reason is that my assistant can go through my inbox. Let's say I'm going on vacation. He can go through my inbox, my main inbox, and put that into my priority inbox. And when I come back, I can reply to these messages, or he can reply to my messages before I do. Let's say I'm on vacation and I'm not checking my email. He can actually reply for me and let people know. I also have an autoresponder in place where that teaches people what to do. So it's like, okay, if you're emailing for this business, for this, you can contact this person, right? Just doing that, probably, like, I would say weeded out 70% of the emails I received. Because now people knew how to communicate. They also knew that in order to communicate with me, because I said that in the autoresponders, that I only check emails like 15 minutes, like, you know, let's say 30 minutes a day. So they know that they shouldn't be expecting an email, like a reply right away. I tell either it's my customers or my colleagues or whoever it is, even my wife, that don't expect a reply from me right away, right? So it's doing that over time using the filters, using a good autoresponder that directs, you know, the flow of communication, and doing all that. It's the best. And it's also taking team communication from outside the inbox, right? You don't want to communicate with your team over email. Like, that's the thing you don't want to be doing. So we switched to a system called Twist. It's a little bit like Slack, but I like the pace better and I like the structure better. And all the team communication happens via Twist. And it's so nice because, like, first of all, like, there's so many unnecessary emails that don't get sent, which is great. And second, it's very to the point, and you can catch up at any time. So it's really fun because, contrary to what Slack does, it's not just a chat. It actually works kind of like an inbox, and it's channel and thread based. And it's been working wonders for us. The pace, you know, the communication has been extremely clear because of that. So we've taken all communication from outside the inbox into that integrated system, and it's been fantastic.
That's amazing. And does it work as a project management software as well?
No. So we don't use it. Like, you can use it as a project management. I really don't like the way it's, I don't like managing projects like that. So we use Trello for project management. So when we decide on a project, you know, we have very clear steps that we follow. And we just have our own version of Kanban, pretty much. So it's like scrumming, let's say, but we have our own system. So it's like, okay, well, here's the to-do. Here's what we're doing now. Here's what's to review. And here's what's been reviewed. And we have, like, archives. So we always know where people are at with their projects and what they need to do. But we use Trello for that because, one, it's simple to use. And visually it's perfect, you know, like, just to visualize, okay, where are you at with everything. And we have a very clear system as well to make sure that, you know, no staff is going to get overwhelmed with anything. We have boundaries that we set up for them as well, and they cannot take on, you know, more than what we call buckets, more than three buckets at a time, to make sure that they can actually achieve everything that you should be achieving, but also take care of the ongoing tasks in the business.
Yeah, and I have no doubt you have systems for that, because I can hear, even just through the language that you are using, that you have an intention around boundaries, that you are organized, that you are, you know, to borrow from some of Stephen Covey's things, you're sharpening the saw before you're trying to cut down the tree. and you mentioned buckets, and I'm sitting here with my Epic planner, which is a planner that you designed. And I want to talk a little bit about buckets. And I also want to get into how you went about creating this planner, because there are so many options for entrepreneurs in terms of journals and focus. And frankly, I've tried them all. I'm interested in them. They're kind of fun to buy. And this concept of bubbling journals where I'm drawing over the place. And it lasts a week. And I'm like, I don't have time for this. Like, this is a massive suck on my time. And what I loved, and I'm loving about yours, is it's keeping me super focused, and it's forcing me to identify one thing a day that I need to achieve, not 45 things a day. So, like, all the theory that you are talking about sort of comes to fruition in this planner. So I want to get into the planner, but right at the beginning of it, when you're talking about how to set it up on a quarterly basis, you get into this concept of buckets. Can you just take us through some of the theory behind the planner?
Yes. So I really love that you quoted Stephen Covey, Dr. Covey, because he's been a major influence, you know, on my work. And there's one analogy for me that pretty much changed my life, like the way I saw prioritization in things. It's the analogy of the rocks, so the big rocks, the small rocks, and the sand. Right? Are you familiar with that? I guess Megan, right?
I am.
This analogy. So for those who are not familiar with that, it's pretty much that if you take, like, we call it a bucket, you know, a container, but you have your bucket there, and you have big rocks, small rocks, and sand. most people are going to, let's say, so you're going to put the sand first, right? Which you're going to represents all the small things that you do on a daily basis, right? Think about all the little things that you're doing. This is sand, and you usually people put that first, right? Because they're going to be reactive to what people like to their business, to what's happening. So they're going to prioritize all that. From there, they're going to say, "Oh well, I'm going to should do this because it's a little bit more important." Right, so you're going to put that represented by the small rocks. So then you're going to put all the small rocks on top of the sand, right? What happens to the big rocks after that? Because you want to make them fit into that bucket, the bucket that represents, let's say, your life or the time that you have. They're not going to fit in that bucket, right? Because all the sand and the smaller rocks are going to eat pretty much most of the space. So you're not going to be able to fit in your big rocks, which are your really important things, right? The things that you really want to achieve, your goals. So they're not going to fit in. In the opposite, if you prioritize and you put the big rocks in the bucket first, right? So you put the big rocks there. From there, you break it down and you put in all the smaller rocks, right? So the small rocks are going to get into all the holes that have been created by, you know, the big rocks. They're going to fill these gaps that have been created. And from there, now you can start pouring the sand. And the sand is going to fill all the little crevices and holes that are still there between the big rocks and the small rocks. And from there, you can fit everything into that bucket perfectly. But you only achieve that when you prioritize, when you know, okay, here's what I want to achieve, and here's how we're going to do it, and how we're going to break it down. You know, so the book, Stephen Covey's book, is called The First Things First. And that was a big influence on the way I was running things. Like, my God, I get it. You know, it's right. Like, you know, these moments where like, okay, I get it now. So for years and years, I worked with my own little planner, like basic agenda, where I had like my most important task of the day, and you know, breaking it down. I was always breaking down my projects into more actionable items. And I was putting my number one thing that I had to do, and you know, then all the things that you need to do, because business and life happens, and you know, they need to be dealt with. So you have all the tasks you need to do. But every day, I had to make sure that I was working on the one thing that would make, you know, the money move, that would make my business grow, or things that I was doing to reach my goals. And when I started teaching a few years ago, I realized that 100% of my students needed a framework like this. So I created like a framework in an Excel spreadsheet for them to actually, where, you know, every quarter, all my mastermind, I was thinking my mastermind students, and we were breaking down, you know, their goals and creating what we call the bucket. So a bucket pretty much is a project, and each bucket has four big rocks, right? And a big rock, a maximum of four big rocks, and big rocks represent the milestones, right? The key steps that they're going to need to accomplish in order to reach their goals. From there, we break it down, each rock, into five smaller rocks. So five, what we call productive actions, is that actions that you're going to be focusing on every day in order to reach that. And then you have, obviously, the sandwich is all the other stuff, all the little things, all the movements that one going to need to happen to make these small rocks, these productive actions, a reality, but also everything else that you have in your day. So I was taking them through that process, and you can only have, you know, maximum of three buckets per quarter, right? That's the maximum anyone can have. So I was bringing them to this framework, and I'm like, you know what? Let's create, you know, something that, you know, they can carry, something that's going to be, hey, if it doesn't fit in my planner, like, I should probably not do it. And well, you have the planner, so we added, you know, all the morning routines, the evening checklist, the idea box as well, which is great. It's a concept that I use to actually not take on things that I shouldn't be taking on. So, you know, as entrepreneurs, we always have 10 billion ideas a second. So it's just a filter, so you don't actually execute on them, because it's not time to execute on it, right? So instead of actually like putting that on your to-do list, there's a section in the planner on the daily pages called the idea box, where you're just going to write it down. And every day you're going to purge this little idea box and put it into your main idea box, which is at the end of your planner. And you're not forgetting it. You're just putting it into another box that you're going to put on the shelves, and you're going to open that box at the end of the quarter. Yeah, we created that planner based on that to create structure for entrepreneurs, but also boundaries for them. You know what I mean? So because you cannot have more than three buckets. There's one focus, you know, with productive action per day that you need to focus on. There's only a limited number of other tasks that you can accomplish. And we also teach entrepreneurs to, you know, create routines and rituals in their lives. So there's one routine that we set up. We show you how to set up every day. That's actually something that's going to help you, you know, reach your goals and run a better business.
I love it. I opened it and I was like, oh, this was made for my brain. And the way I think, anyways, I'm only really mentioning this and I've told you this before that I really love it because I've literally tried like hundreds of these things and I get all excited by the stickers and the colors and it doesn't really matter. Like this is one that doesn't waste my time. In fact, I feel like it gives me time. So it's super cool.
You have no idea how many people tell me that.
Right. I know. I love it.
It's crazy. I mean, they come back to like, that's actually the only planner that I was able to stick to like ever. And you're right. Like, see, like this, there's a lot of planners in general, but first of all, most of them are not, you know, made by entrepreneur for entrepreneurs. You know, they're mostly made for, you know, the creative type, you know, we're a creative type, entrepreneurs are creative type, but they are not made for people like who have actually like a business to run. And a lot of these planners are made to like prioritize daily life or even for people that want to have a specific project. But for an entrepreneur, we have a specific mindset. We have specific ways of doing things. So it you know, when people start using, it's like, okay, well, it's made for my brain. Yeah, because I made it for my brain too.
Exactly. And,
you know, we fine tune it with hundreds of my students over time, and from there, you know, we have a really, really nice, you know, system that you can bring anywhere with you.
Each month, I'm featuring a new Anthropology quiz to help you unlock and uncover some of the physical performance blocks that may be holding you back from your true potential. When you know better, you can do better. To learn more or to take the quiz, head on over to meganwalker.com/Anthropology quiz. You know, while we're talking about the language of entrepreneurs and the uniqueness of entrepreneurs, I think it's a cool opportunity to jump into a few of the rapid fire questions that we put in the second half of our interview. And these are called KPIs, so key performance indicators. And just like we have them in our business, I believe that we have them in our life as well. So I've got five quick questions for you that just give people a little bit of insight into and what you're up to. You ready?
Cool. Yeah, I love it.
Okay. Fiction or nonfiction, what are you reading right now?
What am I reading right now? I'm not reading anything right now.
That's the best answer I've heard all day.
I'm not reading. No, I got a lot of books. Like, I'm going to be perfectly honest. I got a lot of books that I need to read. But at the moment, I'm not reading anything right now because it doesn't fit in my in my schedule right now. So no, you know, I'm not reading anything right now. I'm going to tell you. So I got about like 36 books that I need to read. The last one that I read was Rework, a fantastic book.
Yeah, great.
It was the third time that I read it. I really, really like it. So that was the last one that I read. And my next one, I haven't decided. No, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend that I know which one I'm going to read next. I don't know. I got a lot of them.
It's
there,
okay. You could throw it up on our Facebook page once you're like, figured it out. What is the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
With my health, it's I would say exercising now. It's been my biggest, obviously. Bodybuilding changed my life completely in a way that it allowed me to really have this discipline, consistency in my life, in my late teens, early 20s. And when I was driving recklessly in the burnout zone, you know, that was the one thing that I stopped doing consistently, was exercise, like going to the gym, like not every day, most days, and having like, you know, just doing the right thing, you know, exercising. And about a little bit more than a year ago, I started like back, like I want to reconnect. And I started like doing hypertrophy style bodybuilding, because for a while I was totally disconnected. I tried different types of workouts, didn't work, tried CrossFit, got injured, tried different other things. And I went back to the basics. And now like I'm at the gym every morning consistently. And you know what? It goes so much beyond just the health benefits of overexercising. You know, my brain is clearer. I feel better. It adds a lot of, it just does what it does. It adds consistency and discipline to my life in general. So that's the one thing.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Wow, totally badass. I was born and raised on a 9-square-mile island.
Cool.
15 years of my life there. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I like that. I like these random facts. What do you do for fun or play?
I play hockey and I go fishing and hunting. Love it. Okay. So, yeah.
How those Canadian are do you get?
Awesome. Mega Canadian. I'm a Maritimer. I live on the East Coast, right? And I'm a proud Maritimer. And I live in a great place of the world in New Brunswick, in Canada. And I'm surrounded by nature. I got rivers that are filled with salmon and trout all around me. So fishing is one of my activities that I love, because I just don't think about anything else. I'm fully like, you know, all you think about when you fish, like when you're salmon fishing, is your next cast. Because fly fishing is not, it's not easy. So it's just like having to just focus on the next cast. And you just, same thing with hunting. It's like you're into an environment that, I don't know, it's just everything that you do. And I can recreate that with hockey as well. When I play hockey, I just think about playing hockey and I just love it.
That's amazing. And you get into a flow state, right? It's such one of those things that we love as entrepreneurs. Last question for you, Dave. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
No, I think we're born with tendency, with, you know, entrepreneurial tendencies. I think, you know, just the fact of who we are in general, right? Like the fact that, you know, we want to create. We're usually pretty creative types. You know, we want to create. We want to do. We're not doing very, very well with rules in general, and you see that as a common pattern. So. I would say, you know, we're born in, and then it doesn't mean that because you didn't have like entrepreneurial or it didn't show, let's say, in your younger years, and all of a sudden you're like, you know, you get into business and you realize that, damn, I'm pretty good at that. You know, that can bloom late as well. But you know what? I don't feel like that's the thing that's weird right now. Like in general, is that people like, oh, I decided to be an entrepreneur. And I find that's a super weird thing to say, or even like a weird concept, because I don't know about you, but I never felt like I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I just did what I wanted to do. And like opening, like creating my business was something that was super natural, but it feels like now it's like, oh, I'm an entrepreneur, right? And it's like a badge of honor or some kind, and people want to be, it's kind of the new super sexy thing to be. Right. And like, I don't know, like when we were kids and nobody was like, yeah, I want to be an entrepreneur. It was kind of the loser thing to say, you know what I mean?
Right.
And yeah, I don't know. Like I never considered myself or said to anyone, I'm an entrepreneur, you know, as it seems to be like something that a new cool thing to say, but I don't know. You're just born. You're going to know, you know, you're going to know if you're an entrepreneur or not, if you're born to do that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Dave, you have so much to offer the world, and you're contributing in such really cool ways. I really resonate with your message and what you are offering the entrepreneurial community. Where can people follow up on your work? And we're also, I'll just mention, going to include a link for people to grab your planner if they want to try it out.
Cool. Yeah, you can, social media is a great way to connect with me. So Instagram is a fantastic way, at Dave Ruel, so DaveRuel. Same thing on Facebook. Pretty much the easiest way to connect with me. You can even friend me on Facebook. I pretty much accept new friends all the time. Website, DaveRuel.com. You can check out my company, Ethic, as well, Ethic.co. So we talked about the planners. Then look out for my coming book as well. That's coming in spring of 2018, called Burnt Out, where we're going to be talking about the burnout. So how to break the burnout and reclaim your entrepreneurial freedom. So we're actually working on it pretty actively right now, and hopefully it's going to be out by out in the spring.
Amazing. Well, I can't wait to get my hands on it. And thank you so much for taking the time to be here. This is such an important message for all of the entrepreneurs out there.
Thanks, Megan. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.